PJ and Matt and Darlene. The other song, the one verse we said several times, you're moving here even in our midst, even when we don't see it. God is moving, God is working. That is awesome work of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus left, he said, you know what, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you something else. I'm going to send you something better. And that's the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is still working in our midst, in our lives, in 2020. As much as we look at the negativity, we tend to focus on that too much instead of the good things that God is doing. God is still working. God is still doing amazing and amazing things. So another one is Jesus is coming soon. He is. And I'm excited. Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when, but it's going to be soon. It could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be a year from now. But it's important for us to be ready for Jesus' second coming. So bless you in your worship, each one of you. And welcome. Thank you for being here. Bless each one of you for being here. Your presence is, it's just great to have you here. So thank you so much, each of you, for coming. We're going to lift the offering, and then we have several announcements, and then we'll get right into the message. The offering this morning is for the building fund. And so, Mike, if you can do that, thank you. Daniel is not here this morning. So the offering this morning is for the building fund. So we will have a word of prayer for that, and then we'll go from there. Father in heaven, thank you this morning that you're worthy of our praise. Lord, you are worthy of our worship. And this morning, we just praise you and we bless you. I want to say thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. We are so undeserving people. But yet you have so much grace, you have so much mercy, you have an just incredible love for each one of us this morning. And so that for that, we just want to say thank you, Father, for loving us, for caring for us. Thank you for the way you bless us. And Lord, as we give this morning toward the building fund, I pray a blessing on the gift and on the giver, that we could give with proper motives and it could be used for your glory. Lord, bless this offering. And we bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the offering is for the building fund this morning. As far as announcements, Wednesday evening again, 7:30, same time, at Ernie and Almina. You're welcome to join a prayer meeting. Everyone's welcome, specifically for the election that's coming up in several weeks. And so that is going to happen this Wednesday night again, 7:30, at Ernie and Almina's house. So you guys are invited to that. Men's meeting is tomorrow night, our house, 7 o'clock. So men, you're invited to that as well. Are there any other announcements for this coming week or something you want to announce coming up? Okay, if not, we're going to have something. A lot of you know who Josue is, Josue Navarro, Josue and Sarah, and they have, Lloyd, if you want to pull up that picture, I think a lot of you know that the story of, wow, they are so cute. I think a lot of you know this story. This is probably, is it 6 months, Jason? Do you know? 6, 7 months? When was it?
This picture?
No, when the babies were born. How old are the babies now?
The babies are 9 months old.
9 months old. Okay. Well, it's probably a long, 7 months? Okay. So the twins are 7 months old, and they just came out of the hospital, and a lot of you know this story probably, but they are now home, and so he sent this picture to Jason, and, oh, sorry, why don't you say it? Go ahead. You say how it is.
I had the privilege of being over there for a little over an hour and a half yesterday afternoon and hung out with them, and so, no, I wanted to clarify, I put this picture.
Oh, okay, got it. Thank you, Jason.
Preemie, so when I went in to visit them at Lancaster General, oh, not Lancaster General,
women's babies.
In the ICU there, the babies were around 1 pound at that point. I could have put them probably in the palm of my hand. And they were about 1 pound. And since that, they had gone through multiple surgeries, mostly heart and lung stuff. They were down at CHOP for 2.5 months, and now only 2 weeks ago, when we came back home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, Josue is still working full time, cut back hours a little bit. Sarah's not working at all anymore, obviously, to be at home and take care of the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, okay, so there's a little bit of the history, but they're home now, so Sarah is quitting her job and just to focus to be home with the babies. But we would like to just bless them with a gift or gift cards. So here's what we're going to do. You can either give something today or bring something to men's meeting tomorrow night, whether it's a gift card, whether it's cash. Sarah loves Olive Garden. So if there's just something you want to give, just as a gift, we'll just give to them. And just a way of blessing them, encouraging them. So they have been on an incredible journey. They still are on an incredible journey. So if you have something this afternoon, or like today, you can either give it to me. If not, bring it tomorrow night, or you know, message me or something and say, hey, I have something I'd like to give to Josue and Sarah. So you know what? We're just going to take this time right now to pray for them as well, because it is a journey. And They amaze me on how well they do with the situation that they've been. So, Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, thank you for Josue and Sarah. And Lord, for what they're doing and the availability and the obedience, I believe, on your calling in their life to take care of these twins. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing on them this morning. Give them courage, give them strength. And Father, we just come behind them and just bless them. Pray that you give them joy and purpose and peace, and keep just pray for healing for the boys as well, that they could be all that they were intended to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, Jason, and bless you for reaching out to Josue as well. For those of you that don't know Josue, Josue is a guy that a lot of us know for years, way back. It goes back a long time since Josue was around. probably one of the originals. So, all right. For those of you that were here last Sunday, even if you weren't here last Sunday, what we talked about was something that everyone deals with. We talked about our parents deal with it, our grandparents dealt with it. 1800s, they dealt with it. Even in the Bible times, they dealt with it, and that was temptation. So we talked about that last week, and then we also specifically looked at how Jesus dealt with temptation, right? We looked at that, and we broke that down, and I specifically brought out, we talked about the three temptations that he had, but the first two, the very first word that Satan came to Jesus with was, if you are the Son of God. The second temptation was the exact same thing. His first word was, if you're the Son of God. And so we talked about that a little bit. And so I look at that, and Satan is questioning Jesus' identity. Are you really the Son of God? Satan knew good and well he was the Son of God. Jesus knew good and well he was the Son of God. But Satan still just had to ask that question, if you're the Son of God. And so we're going to talk about identity this morning, because identity is a huge problem. It really is. If you have the wrong identity, it really can take you in a different place in life. And, I mean, you get your identity wrong, it's a problem. It really is. Your identity is the core, the foundation of who you are. It's not coincidence that identity theft is such a huge global problem. Like, people spend millions, probably billions of dollars on identity theft, on someone just trying to take someone else's identity, stealing someone else's identity. And it is costing us probably billions of dollars, or people, billions of dollars, because of identity theft and just simply someone stealing your identity. Why does someone else want to steal your identity? why do you want to be someone else instead of who God created you to be, is maybe a question you should ask. So we're going to look at identity this morning. Recognizing that wrong identity can lead to results that are not good. Proper identity can lead to results that are absolutely beautiful. So I see it going completely different ways. Wrong identity will lead you to places that are destructive. Proper identity is going to lead you to being victorious, being an overcomer, being who God wants you to be. So we're going to look at that this morning. Now, we just talked about identity theft. And now Satan not only wants to steal your money, but he wants to steal your identity because he knows how impactful that is. Not only will he steal your identity, he can hide your identity, try to get you to hide your identity. He's going to try to demolish your identity. He's going to try to confuse your true identity. Is that making sense? Who's all behind this gender distinction and stuff? Satan realizes identity is important. And if he confuses people with that identity, things aren't going to turn out right. He's aware of that. Now, Satan can't create anything. He's not a creator. God is a creator. But he tries his best to destroy, demolish, and confuse people's identity. And he'll use whatever he can to do that. Satan will use pain for you to lose your identity. He'll use hurt. He'll use others' opinions to change your identity. Do you get that? That's actually a really big one. Do you know how much value you put on what other people say about you? On how much that shapes your identity? Is that your true identity? What other people think about you? No. Satan's going to try to use other people's opinion to form your identity. Wrong thoughts. Satan can use wrong thoughts to destroy your identity. Make you think that you're no good. Make you think that you're a nobody. Make you think that you have no value. Satan's behind all of that, trying to destroy, demolish your identity. So what is your identity? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In the New Testament, there's 35 different truths that talk about your identity. So we're not going to get into 35 this morning. We're just going to get into several. And as I started getting some of this stuff together, this may lead into next week too, because we're not going to have near enough time to even cover the ones I want to. When we look at who God says you really are, what your true identity is. So what is your identity? What are you? And remember last week we talked about Jesus. When Jesus was tempted, the way he combated temptation was saying, "It is written." The only way he could say "it is written" is he knew the scripture. He knew what the Bible says. And so when we're talking about true identity here, I want to tell you, and I'm going to read some verses about what the Bible says about your true identity. And so when Satan comes to you, you can say, "It is written. This is what the Bible says about me." So we're going to look at that. We're going to start out in the very first thing, number one, about your identity. And this is just my order, okay? Like I said, there's 35 different scriptures or 35 different points in the New Testament regarding your identity. Number one identity that I'm going to bring out this morning is you are loved. You are loved unconditionally by God. There is no conditions on God's love. If Satan comes to you and says, "Are you sure you're loved?" You can say, "It is written, I am loved." How do you know you're loved? John 3:16, okay? "For God so loved the world," we're part of the world, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's a great verse. God loved you so much. God loves you. You are loved. It's part of your identity. and it's a very foundational part of your identity in recognizing you're loved because you are. And God's love for us is different than any other person's love for us, even your spouse, because God's love is completely unconditional. And maybe some of you spouses and marriages say, well, is my love conditional? Yeah, your love is conditional. We're human, okay? We can't love unconditionally. God can. 1 John 4:19 says this. We love him because he first loved us. That scripture, it is written, he loved us. He loves us, okay? You are loved. That's part of your identity. That's who Jesus Christ and the scripture says that you are. You're loved. And I'm going to go through these. You can find all different kinds of scriptures about love, right? So, number one, you are loved. Number two, you are a child of God. As a Christian, you are a child of God. When you were born, you had a mom and dad. You had parents. So by being born, you were born into their family. You are now their son or their daughter. You are a child of your mom and dad. As a Christian, when you become born again, that therefore makes you a child of a heavenly father. Being born again makes you a child of God. And so that is your identity. As a Christian, you are a child of God. Let's look at some scriptures. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." This one actually wraps up the first two. It talks about, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on you, that you should be called the children of God." Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. It's talking about all things made new. This is the second to last chapter in the Bible. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bridegroom adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, and the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these things are true and faithful.' And he said, 'It is done. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" Verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Isn't that beautiful? God is saying, when he makes everything new, and he calls us, we have the opportunity to be called a son or a daughter of God. That is amazing. That is part of your identity as a Christian. You are a child of God. If Satan comes and asks you the question and says, "Are you really the son of God? Is that really who you are?" Yes, it is written. Here's verses. We are children of God. John 1, 6 to 13. I'm going to read those verses yet as far as in regards to this. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13 says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, this is talking about Jesus. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his very own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he became... Wait a second. Get this in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It is written, you are a child of God. You are. And I look at this verse, when I look at verse 10 too, it says he was in the world, the world was made through him, the world didn't know him. That's, I'm like, man, that's too bad. It really is. Jesus is here on the world, he created it, and now he's on it and they don't even know him. That would be very disappointing. It'd be incredibly disappointing. But you know, Jesus knows about disappointments. God knows about disappointments as well. There's times in my life where I'm completely disappointed about something. And I'm sure you could probably relate to something too where it just, you tried to do something and it just didn't work out and you were just utterly disappointed. God knows about that. I actually go back in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, he really knew about it. Okay, Genesis 1 where he created everything, the animals, the sea, the fish, you know, the sky, light and dark, God made all that stuff and he was good. Then he created man and he says man is very good is what he talked about when he said he created man. So God made everything beautiful and good and very good. Five chapters later in Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to read that real quick because we have God making something absolutely beautiful, and part of that was man. And then look what happens in Genesis chapter 6. It came to pass, this is only five chapters later, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were beautiful. They took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bore children to them, those who were mighty, those who were old, men of renown. Verse 5, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And get this, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Verse 6 says, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord knows about disappointment. He really does. He created man. He created it beautiful. He said it's very beautiful. And five chapters later, the thoughts of man were continually evil. That would be a disappointment. So God knows about disappointment. Anyway, how did I get on that? You're a child of God. You are loved. Number one, this morning we're talking about you're loved. Number two, you're a child of God. Number three, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that a little bit. 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to read those verses that talk about you being a temple. Now, what is a temple? A temple is a place where people would go to worship, people would go to pray. It was a holy place. They would go to worship and glorify God there. At least you look in the Old Testament. A temple was a sacred place. According to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17 to 20, this is what the Bible says. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Verse 19, because he's talking about, if you back up, I'm not going to read these verses in the context here, but this context here is where he's talking about glorifying God in your body and in your spirit. So I'm just jumping in here at verse 17. But verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So number three this morning, your body, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. And that's a pretty sacred thing. Don't take that lightly. Jesus said before he left, he said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send something else. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that indwells in people. And so your body, you can go home and look at yourself in the mirror. That person right there is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's part of your identity, recognizing that. You're a temple. Glorify God with it. Number four, this is probably the last one we're talking about here this morning, is that you have value. This verse I just read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says this, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this verse says you were bought with a price. So how much were you worth? How much, what is your value? How much did he pay for you? Like, are we talking about a lot of money here, or what does he mean you were bought with a price? Who determines value? Or what determines value? What is value? Value is what someone is willing to pay for it determines the value. Okay? We all live in a house. Some of you own a house. Your house is worth as much as someone is willing to pay for it. That's the value. We all came in cars or minivans or trucks. It's becoming a minivan city out there now. I'm one of them, so. Mike shaking his head no. He may get there, guys. Our cars, the value of our cars is what someone is willing to pay for it. That's the value of it. And you can put anything in there, really. Clothes, furniture, you know, they all have value. And it's what people are willing to pay for it. That's the value. We have different brands, you have different sizes, different qualities that all determine the value. And some of it is even who owned it before that determines value. If me and LeBron James would each sell a pair of our shoes, I guarantee you he could get a whole lot more for it. They could be the same brand. They could be exactly the same size even. But if he wore them, I guarantee you he could get more for it than I could. It's just a matter of value. Since he owned them, people are willing to pay for more for his shoes than they would be mine. So, value, it's what determines, it's what someone is willing to pay for it. So, this says you were bought with a price. So, what are you worth? What is your value? Are you valuable? And I'm here to say this morning, you are valuable. And maybe some of you have heard... Maybe it's been spoken to you that you're not worth anything, that you're not going to amount to anything, that you're no good. That's not true. That's not what your value is. Do you want to know what your value is? What you are worth? Your value. I want you to look at the cross this morning. with Jesus hanging on it. A physical body stretched out. Bloody. Beaten. Bruised. Wounded. Spit on. Mocked. And then he died like that. For you. That's your value. The Son of God giving his life, going through agony, emotional pain, physical pain, lying, all kinds of stuff that went on, and dying. That's the price he paid for you. That is your value. Satan can come in and test you and tempt you that say you're not valuable, you're not good enough. No. The reality is you are valuable. And that's how valuable you are. You are worth dying for. You are worth dying for. And Jesus did. Not only you, but your neighbor has value. Your boss has value. The 7.7 billion people on earth right now have value. Everyone has value. So what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what others say about you? Is that going to affect your identity? Is that going to mold your identity? Others' opinions? I'm going to stop right here this morning. Maybe it'll go more next week because there's so much more here talking about identity. But I'm going to stop with this here this morning with right where we're at. I want you to know several things this morning about your identity. It's not about others' opinions of who you are. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. You are loved. You are a child of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are extremely valuable. Father, this morning, thank you so much for this opportunity to be gathered in this way this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for who you say we are. Father, I want to thank you for loving us. I want to thank you that we can be your children. I want to thank you that we can be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you that we are extremely valuable. Lord, as we go from here, I'm asking that we would, that it would be reality for us to know our true identity. Who you and the Bible says that we are, and that we would walk in that. Thank you that we can have true identity in Jesus Christ. You're good. Lord, I pray a blessing on each person as we go from here. I pray a blessing on this afternoon that all we say and do, we could honor you. So, Lord, thank you. We want to honor you. We praise you. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed. Bless you.